This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah ala hilmihi ba'da ilmih wa ala afwihi ba'da qudratih. Wassalatu wassalamu ala sayyidil anbiya'i wal mursaleen wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa sallama tasliman kathiran. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وكذلك جعلناكم أمة وسطا صدق الله العظيم. My dear respected ulama, elders and brothers, we begin by praising Almighty Allah and sending salutations upon our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I have recited a verse of the Holy Quran in front of you, which is a very famous verse, and I'm sure many of you from time to time have heard the ulama quoting this verse. Although sometimes we don't understand the depth in the meaning of this beautiful verse. And in this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described one of the most essential characteristics of this ummah. وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا. Allah Ta'ala says, we have made you an ummata wasata, a justly balanced ummah. An ummah that does not fall short of the limit, that does not go beyond the limit. The ummah that adopts moderation as one of its key characteristics. And what does moderation mean? You know, moderation is that which does not fall short, does not go beyond. It is the middle path. And we strictly follow the middle path. And that is something very interesting. If you see what I've got in front of me, so this whole particular stand is, if I take the entirety of it, the middle path will be exactly here. Now, if you don't see the two extremes, you might not be able to get the middle path. You need to understand the two extremes to be able to understand the middle path between the two extremes. And that is what we are required in our Sharia to do. Now, many a times you and I would not regard moderation as a moral attribute very highly. But yet this ayah tells us it is the distinguishing characteristic of the ummah. Nabi Karim SAW had said, خَيْرُ الْأُمُورِ أَوْسَتُهَا. The best of all affairs is that in which you adopt the middle path, the moderate path between the two extremes. Now, when we talk about moderation, I just want to sound a warning that we mustn't say about that we're talking about moderation as envisaged by the West. The West has got a particular view of moderation. Salman Rushdie, once in the Washington Post, had written, and I would like to quote him verbatim, "The Islamic Reformation has to begin here with an acceptance of the concept that all ideas, even sacred ones, must be adept to altered realities." I beg your pardon. We have certain sacred realities which we will not forsake. So they have this idea of moderation means you mustn't be too fundamentalist, you mustn't be too serious about your religion. I will go on to explain what our understanding of moderation is. Let me start off by saying in every aspect of our deen, we have the middle path. From the very most fundamental belief, right up till the very low in terms of our akhlaq and our conduct. Let me start off with our belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As I said, the middle path requires you to understand the two extremes. So what is the two extremes in this regard? One extreme is to associate partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now that is demeaning humankind. When a person goes and put his head in sijda in front of many lords besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is demeaning ashraful makhluqat. It is demeaning humankind. Therefore, Allah Ta'ala says, "Inna Allah la yaghfiru an yushraka bih." Allah will never forgive a person who associates partners to Allah Ta'ala. "Wa yaghfiru ma duna dhalika liman yasha." Other than that, if Allah wishes, Allah can forgive any other guna and sin. Shirk is the cardinal guna and sin. "Inna shirka la zulmun azim," says Allah in Surah Luqman. Shirk is the greatest injustice. And what does shirk mean? Either one or two things. Either you bring Allah Ta'ala down to the level of human beings, or you bring and you upgrade a human being to the level of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is shirk. That is one extreme. And the other extreme now for us to understand the middle path, the other extreme is to deny Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya Allah, how do you deny your creator? But that is the reality we are facing in today's time. People, when you ask them, what is your religion? We are agnostics. We are skeptics. We don't believe in anything. How can you do that? Why, you know, all the great miracles that we see in front of us just came like that. All the wonders around us are just accidents. No, Almighty Allah made 1,000 billion stars. They made themselves. No power keeps them on a steady course without them, you know, colliding with one another. Infants teach themselves to cry when they are hungry or hurt. My marhum uncle used to tell me, "Bachche poirao duke duke rare ya dame rame, buke rare ya dame rame." Children, they cry when they are hungry or when they are hurt. Right? So they just did it like them, like themselves. Who taught them that? Who taught a small child, an infant, when it grows, the moment it is born, to be able to suck the mother's breast? But yet you find these people who say that there is no Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The earth gave itself day and night, tilted itself so that we get seasons. The human heart will beat for 70 and 80 years without faltering. How does it get sufficient rest between the heartbeats? And yet they say there is no God. So in between these two extremes is our belief in the oneness of Allah. How did Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam tell unto his companions of the prison, Ya sahiba is-sijn, arbabum mutafarriqun khair amillahul wahidul qahar? Oh, my companions of the prison, is many lords better or is one powerful great lord better? So our belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is between the two extremes. The other aspect is, the next most important belief in our deen is the belief in Risalah, prophethood of our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. Look at the history of religions. It's a failure in them finding the middle path. And Islam has adopted the middle path. Why is it a failure? On one hand, you have make your prophet God incarnate. لَكَدْ كَفَرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ ثَالِثُ ثَلَاثَ. They have committed disbelief. Who made Isa alayhi salatu wasalam divine? Who made him one of the Trinity? Who made him equal to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And on the other hand, there is the other extreme, which Allah ta'ala says, وَيَقْتُلُونَ النَّبِيِّينَ. They went to the extent of killing their prophets. They killed Zakaria alayhi salatu wasalam. They killed Yahya alayhi salatu wasalam. So in between, you see the history of religions find that we have not been able to find other religions, the middle path between the two extremes, between with regard to the rights of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, our belief in the prophets. One hand, make him part of Allah Ta'ala, attribute divinity to him. Al-Iyadu Billah. Allah Ta'ala in so many places, لَكَدْ كَفَرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْمَسِيحُ بْنُ مَرْيَمُ. 6 Jews of the Holy Quran, they have committed disbelief, who say Allah is Isa ibn Maryam. How can he be? On the other hand, you know, there's a group that they kill the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. In between is Islam. Subhanallah. We have shown that respect to our prophets and that reverence to our prophet that no ummah has shown reverence and respect to their prophet the way we have shown. In every matter, Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi was giving lessons of hadith. And every now and then he was wincing with pain. And the students after the lesson said, Ustad, what happened? You were in pain. Why didn't you stop the lesson? He said, just look behind. There's something that is inconveniencing me. And they looked behind and they saw a scorpion was stinging him. He said, why didn't you stop? Stop the lesson of the prophet because of my pain. Where do you get any ummah that showed such respect to his prophet? But we were very, very careful. Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was our object of our obedience, because Allah Ta'ala told us, "Ma atakum ar-rasulu fakhudhu wa ma nahakum anhu fantahu." Whatever he tells you to do, do it. Whatever he tells you to stay away from it, stay away from it. He was an object of our unswerving allegiance, our respect, our love. The Persian poet made mention of it, and we see it even in today's time in our situations of weakness. The Persian poet said, you can take a chance perhaps with Allah, don't take a chance with Muhammad in front of this ummah. They won't bear the insult of their Prophet. But yet at the same time, we were very careful, this ummah, never attributing divinity to our Prophet. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, towards the end of their lives, he told the Sahaba, be aware, do not make my qabr a place of worship after I die. Be aware, do not make my qabr a place of worship after I die. And one day Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saw a person making dua, MashaAllah wa MashaA Muhammad, what Allah wishes and what Muhammad wishes. And Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam rebuked him and said, Ataj'alu lillahi nidda? Are you equating me with Allah? This is the beauty of this ummah in the middle path with regard to its respect and belief in Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He was the object of our allegiance, love, and unswerving allegiance and love and respect, but never the object of our worship. Again, we give an example. وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا. Look at our material world. We are all living in this material world. In this particular regard, we also find two extremes. One extreme, you find the people who say, stay away from this dunya. There is nothing good in this dunya. There is nothing positive in this dunya. On the other hand, you find the other extreme. They have made this material world the be-all and all, end all of all the desires, objectives, and everything is only material world. The Quran has put it in here, إِلَّا حَيَاتُنَا الدُّنْيَا نَمُوتُ وَنَحْيَا وَمَا نَحْنُ بِمَبْعُوثِينَ. There is only this material world. We are not going to be resurrected. Enjoy yourself as much as possible in this material world. Now, if you have such a view that everything is only this material world, you will stop at nothing to gain the benefits of this material world, even if you have to rob, even if you have to cheat, even if you have to thieve, if you have to commit theft. Because only the material world. You only live here for 60, 70 years. Make the most of it. And I'm not going to be resurrected. What does it leave you with? On the other hand, you find those people who have just stayed away from the beautiful things that Allah created. And Allah Ta'ala warns us, look at the beauty. لا تحرموا الطيبات. What Allah made halal, don't make it haram. Enjoy it. لما تحرموا ما أحل الله لك. Why make haram what Allah made halal? There is so many. Whatever Allah made haram, there is an equivalent in it in halal. Allah made zina haram. He made nikah and enjoying yourself and intimacy in nikah, not only halal, sadaqah, charity. We like to hear these type of things. He made riba haram. He made business halal. Whatever there is haram, he made halal. So he told us, Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana. Give us the good of this world. Give us the good of the year after. Subhanallah. لا تجعل الدنيا أكبر همنا ولا مبلغ علمنا ولا غاية رغبتنا. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's dua, oh Allah, do not make this material world the be all and the end all of our existence. Do not make it the reason why we gain knowledge. Yeah. Everyone today, you ask, why are you taking this course? I make a lot of money in it. There's a lot of money in this. Is that why you gain knowledge? Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sought Allah's protection that you earn knowledge to become a better human being, to serve humanity. Not to make money. If you make money, by the way, it's not the objective. So you see the beauty aspect with regard to our religion, with regard to the material world. The two extremes, make it everything. Other one, forsake it, discard it. In between, Allah says, Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana. We take the good of this material world. We stay away from the harmful effects. Even in our, you know, akhlaq, we always say we must have good akhlaq, good character, good conduct. What is good conduct? Ulama have written that to bring your natural faculties in moderation, that is good conduct. That is good conduct. You know, for example, let's take the example of anger. So anger, the lack of anger brings about inactivity. And the excess of it brings about pride. So anger is good when it is between inactivity and pride. So when you don't get angry for things that you are supposed to get angry, you become inactive. So you hear many a times people saying, "Abe kitlu sabar kare? How much must we make sabar?" So there are certain times when you need to be motivated to do something. And of course, if you have excess anger, we all know the harm that it causes. In every aspect in akhlaq, in conduct, it is the moderate equilibrium in our faculties, intelligence between deception and stupidity. So it's good to be intelligent, so to save yourself from stupidity. And when you become too angry, and you become too intelligent, you become deceptive. I remember our Gujarati old people used to say, I to barrister Baronor. He's going too far. He's becoming too intelligent. So intelligence between deception and stupidity. Bravery between foolhardiness, being reckless, and being a coward. In every aspect, Allah Ta'ala told us, take the middle path. Another thing that I think maybe I should make mention here is the aspect of spending. وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا أَنْفَقُوا لَمْ يُسْرِفُوا وَلَمْ يَقْتُرُوا وَكَانَ بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ قَوَامًا. Look at the beauty. When you spend, you are not miserly. What you spend on things that are necessary in deen and in your needs, and at the same time, you are not extravagant. The people who are extravagant and wasteful, they are the brothers of shaitan, says Allah in the Quran. إِنَّ الْمُبَذِّرِينَ كَانُوا إِخْوَانَ الشَّيَاطِينَ. The people who are extravagant are the brothers of shaitan. I think one thing that I think maybe it might be appropriate in such a setting, many times people say that if I'm extravagant, what does it harm anyone? And I've heard this many a times. If I spend more than what I'm supposed to do in something, how does it harm the community? How does it harm society? It does. And you'll be surprised how it does. You see, when we start becoming extravagant, then we lift the bar of expenses. Now you'll see a wedding 20 years ago and see a wedding now. Why are we always lifting the bar with regard to our expenses? Because someone did an act of extravagance and the next person wanted to equal him. In that particular way, extravagant is not to do only with yourself. You have raised the bar. And extravagant, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Iyaka wa tana'um. Stay away from an ostentatious way of living. Allah doesn't love an ostentatious way of living. I know it's subjective, but there are certain things we have to be careful. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had said, stay away from a very extravagant way of living. In our country, it has other repercussions also. So anyway, let me leave it at that, and let me start off with I've got another 5 minutes. So another important aspect with regard to moderation even in deen. Even in our deen, Islam has taught us that we must be moderate. We must have the middle path between the two extremes. Three Sahaba came to Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and they studied the life of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And one of them said, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is a Nabi of Allah, he doesn't need much ibadat. So one of them said, from now onwards, every day I will keep roza, in which it's permissible to keep roza. One said that every night I will stay whole night awake. And the other one said, I will never get married, because if I get married, I have to look after the wife. And nowadays we look upon that, you know, small son, Gandhi came to the father and said, oh my father, how much does it cost to get married? So the father said, I don't know my son, I'm still paying. And you see the greatest tragedy, I read what Sikhya recently, they say the greatest tragedy. You see, if you think you are in difficulty, can you imagine the difficulty of this person? Who is divorced and is still paying the debts of his wedding? The greatest tragedy. But anyway, what I'm trying to say is, that this is the aspect of deen. So these three people came. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Allah told him about it. He came to them and said, I got more piety than you. But I keep some days fast and sometimes I don't keep fast. I spend portion of my night in sleeping, sometimes with a night with my family, and sometimes I spend in ibadat. And I get married. This is my sunnat. So you realize now the other extreme with regard to it. Now in this regard, I told you that the middle path is this year. This is also wrong. Falling short is also wrong. Going beyond the limit is also wrong. Now many a times when we talk about moderation, we only talk about it in terms of the excess. Falling short is also wrong. If you are not reading your five times daily what salat, what jamaat, you are falling short. You are not moderate. You are falling short of the limit. And moderation means you don't fall short of the limit. In this regard, I would like to quote a very famous scholar, Sheikh Yusuf Al-Qardawi. Sheikh Yusuf Al-Qardawi wrote a book on itidal, moderation, and I just love this portion. And instead of just quoting him like that, I would like to quote him exactly what he had said. Is it fair to condemn young people who have grown up in piety and righteousness, however excessive and strict others might regard it to be, while we keep silent about the immorally permissive behavior among some of the youth when it is difficult to distinguish between male and female, is it fair to make such a fuss about religious extremism and yet keep silent about irreligious extremism? Is it fair to sneer at a woman who veils her face and we joke and we say she's a ninja, aliyadu billah, because she is convinced that her action is in tune with Islamic teaching, yet keep silent about others who walk about around the streets almost naked? Falling short of the limit is not moderation. And going beyond the limit is also not moderation. Therefore, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has warned us, halaka al-mutanatti'un, those who nutpick are destroyed. Who are the people who nutpick? Who create excessiveness in religion. They are going to be destroyed. Excessiveness is too disagreeable for human nature to endure. Therefore, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala has warned us about it. Therefore, you find the people who are excessive making a lot of noise on social media, but they don't get traction. People can't live up to that standard. So excessiveness is too disagreeable for human nature to endure. And excessiveness is short-lived. You can't be excessive for a long period of time. Therefore, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had said, the best of deeds is that which is done consistently, even if it is little. So excessiveness is not something that is that we keep it as something that is great. Let me just give you two examples, then I will conclude. You know, Hazrat Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala anhu one day came to Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and said, Ya Rasulullah, this person who is in my masjid, he was an imam outside Medina. He is a munafiq, he doesn't read namaz with us. That time not to read salat with jamaat was a sign of a munafiq. So Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam called him. And Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told him, he said, why are you not reading salat with jamaat? And he said, Ya Rasulullah, we are people who go into the fields after maghrib. We go and do agriculture. We come back Isha time, Maghrib Isha time. Isha time, Hazrat Muaz is reading Surah Baqarah. He's reading Surah Ali Imran. We can't bear it, we read namaz on our own. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam called Hazrat Muaz, Muaz, afattanun anta. Oh Muaz, are you causing trial and tribulation upon the people? How can you read such long surahs in Isha? Read surahs like Surah Samai Dhatil Buruj. Inshallah, our imams don't do that, inshallah. No, we're fortunate. But read surah like Sabbih Isman Ala Ta'ala. Look at the beauty. And then, amazing, there's a sequel to this. So he called Hazrat Muaz, you know, he called him the person, Hazrat Muaz called him a munafiq. So he went out once in jihad, and he sacrificed his life in the path of Allah. So Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam called Muaz, Muaz, the person whom you call a munafiq today, he gave his life in the path of Allah. But what did Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam say? Oh Muaz, are you causing trial? Hazrat Abu Darda radiallahu anhu was a very well-known sahabi, known for his piety. So Salman al-Farsi was paired with him as a brother by Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Salman al-Farsi came to his house and he saw him. His whole house is disheveled, not neatly kept. His wife is disheveled. He asked her, what are you doing? He said, your brother Abu Darda has no need for me. He doesn't keep any relationship with me. So Salman Farsi told her, go and clean the house, come clean yourself. When Hazrat Abu Darda got up to read namaz after Isha, you say, you sleep now. You only get up in the early hours of the morning and read tahajjud. So Abu Darda complained. The next day they went to Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam rebuked Abu Darda and said, your Lord has a right upon you. Your wife has a right upon you. Your neighbors have a right upon you. Your body has a right upon you. Don't go to the excessiveness with regard to ibadat. And part of excessiveness in ibadat, in religion, creates bigotry and intolerance. Where a person starts thinking, I'm the only one right. And this bigotry and intolerance comes up in this particular way, that you will find the person will say, my opinion is always right, you are always wrong. Or, my opinion is always right, my opinion is all, and you are always wrong. And your opinion is always wrong, it can never be right. And let me conclude with this. Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullahi's one amazing incident. A person was in the company of Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullahi when he was going away. He said, give me parting advice. So Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullahi told him, don't claim divinity and don't claim to be a prophet. And he was shocked. He said, I stayed in your company. Where am I going to be claimed to be Allah? Where am I going to claim to be a prophet? And Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullahi explained him, he said, only Allah's decision is final and binding and no one can complain about it. Don't ever make your opinion final and binding and no one can object to it. And only the Nabi only speaks the truth. Don't ever claim that you are the only truth. That is what I meant. That don't claim to be Allah. Don't claim to be Nabi al-Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is part of excessiveness in religion. In conclusion, Allah had said, وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا. We have made you a justly balanced ummah. And this particular ayat, it portrays and manifests itself in every aspect of our life. From our belief in Allah, our belief in Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in our attitude towards our material world, in our attitude towards our akhlaq, in our spending, and even in our deen. May Allah Ta'ala make us amongst those who follow this ayat and remain as a manifestation of what Allah Ta'ala says, we have made you a justly balanced ummah. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا لِحْمُدِ اللَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ.